From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 26th day of August, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. You'll hear about an Illinois Landowners Conservation Conference series that's coming up for the month of September, the first week of October as well, based out of Decatur and the Extension office there, designed specifically for absentee land. Donors. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast. We'll do that with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics and hear from agricultural economist Chad Hart at Iowa State University, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, online, on demand at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, September corn for the day settled at $3.62, down 5 3/4. December 3.86 1/2, 4 1/2 lower. And the March at 4.05 1/4, down 4 1/4 cents. September beans up 7 3/4 at 9.59 3/4. In the overnight trade, beans were down about 8. November also up 7 3/4, finished at $9.80 3/4. January at $9.98 1/4, it finished up 7 1/2 cents. Bean meal up $5.80. The bean oil 23 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat down 3. It settled at $5.25 in the December contract. The hard red December settled at $5.37 1/4, up 2 1/4 cents for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at $176.97 1/2. That's up $1.27 1/2 for the most traded October. Feeders in the October contract up $3.10 at $237.47 1/2, and lean hogs for the day at $80.40, 15 cents higher on the afternoon. Crude oil at $77.50 a barrel, up $2.67. Diesel fuel or heating oil, a nickel and 4 tenths higher, $2.37 2/10. And the wholesale gasoline price at penny and 7 tenths higher, finished at $2.13 6/10 per gallon on this Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago for this Monday. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
Tell me about your view of the final numbers that came out from Pro Farmer on Friday afternoon to begin with. As usual, and I'll say this, the trade is always fearful that the market will finish trading them, but usually dismisses them prior to the time we get to the day trade in Monday. That happened, and what was your view of those numbers?
Yeah, the corn number, of course, been talked about the most. We saw some fairly large estimates throughout their tour, but when they came in with their final number, 181.1, that's kind of a surprise. But you got to remember one thing. When we go into these reports, there's actually about 3 estimates that analysts actually give when it's all said and done. One is, what will that report be like in September? Secondly, is I really believe it's this other number. And thirdly, I've got a final number later on in the marketing year that's really going to be at. So analysts have about 3 shots at it, but it's a moving target. The yields out there are going to be fairly good. The bean yield, 54.9, of course, above trade expectations, and fairly large bean crop coming at us if that holds on as we move through this warmer, drier pattern in through here. But once we get through September's report, we're starting to remove the supply concern, the fear of how small or how big of supply is going to come in. The combine will actually give us those numbers here as we move through the fall. But the big thing is demand, and demand's the next feature that's going to drive the market. Demand side, we're wrapping up the marketing here at the end of the month. Thus far, the exports on corn and beans both have been just a little higher than what the numbers have been showing. Ethanol usage is a little higher, crush is a little higher. So actually, we could take the old crop and just downgrade it 10 to 15 million bushels and tighten it up slightly. But that's just a drop in the bucket compared to what crop we have coming in front of us here very quickly, Todd.
What are farmers telling you about the crops they have and need to market still?
Mostly pleasantly surprised. You know, it's great to have a good looking crop, but the price is just not worth a darn. So, you know, there's a little bit of frustration in through there. Quite a few guys got caught with some old crop here, trying to find a home for it here at the last minute. But typically we see the market kind of erode here and see some type of low here late in August as we move the rest of the old crop situation. As far as new crop, not a whole lot's been sold new crop wise. We've got the national average, probably 10 to 15% of new crop's price. So going to be a lot of catch-up marketing strategies here as we move into this fall. Starting to push the pencil, cost of storage, cost of money. So there's going to be a lot of marketing take place here in the next 2 to 3 months.
Which of the USDA reports are you looking forward to in the month of September? Of course, our weekly crop progress reports, the USDA crop production report on the 12th, and then at the end of the month, the grain stocks figures, which I think many people are concerned about.
Yeah, all the above. The biggest and most exciting is going to be the production numbers. Then this demand will be fine-tuned as we go through the marketing year. As far as the ending stocks or the wrapping up the old crop grain stocks report here in September, that'll be the carryout coming into this new crop year, which is this crop we're going to be harvesting here fairly quickly. It's going to be tighter, much tighter. And the biggest thing on corn is the numbers we saw a year ago through the growing season, we were looking at a carryout at 2.2 billion bushels. And the price was about 80 cents to dollar higher than where we are. Now we're looking at a carryout 1.8, maybe 1.78 particularly. So much tighter, but it doesn't matter because we've got ample supplies coming here to town fairly quickly.
Anything else you've been watching before I let you go for the day?
Been watching this energy market. We've seen crude oil find some giddy up in through here. It held the $70 level. Now we're moving back up towards the upper 70s, you know, seeing some higher energy values. Part of that is we've got to watch around the world here as world tensions start to escalate, the uncertainty on what's going on in the Mideast. There's going to be a lot of price volatility or risk here. You know, things escalate and the U.S. gets involved in some of these situations in the Far East there.
Hey, thank you much.
You bet. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Ag Market. .net. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. If you visit our website right now at willag.org, that's willag.org, there you'll find the Illinois Land Conservation Series information. This is an upcoming series of in-person and Zoom meeting programs designed for farmland owners and Christian, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Shelby counties here in the state of Illinois. They're invited to come to this free event. Again, it's a series of events, really, across the month of September and the first week of October to learn about implementing beneficial conservation practices alongside their tenant farmers. Participants will connect with other landowners and learn, as you'll hear in a moment, from the experts about how to prioritize conservation, boost soil health, improve wildlife habitat, and so much more. Kate Hansen is the Agriculture Director for the Isaac Walton League of America. They're working with University of Illinois Extension to provide the Illinois Landowner Conservation Series.
Really, our target audience is landowners, but we would invite anybody to join us, specifically landowners in Christian, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Shelby counties. But again, anyone that wants to come, I think we're going to have some valuable content and some educational opportunities, and anyone's welcome.
So this is an in-person meeting?
Yeah, we're calling it a series, and we'll kick off in person on September 3rd in Decatur at the Extension office there by the college. Lunch will be provided, and we'll have some live demonstrations and just try to get everybody together. If folks can't make it, we'll have a Zoom option the next day. And then following that, every week we're going to have an educational session on Zoom where folks can call in on a Friday and just kind of get a different you know, nugget of information from an expert about conservation. So we're going to talk about soil health practices. We're going to have a panel of landowners that have implemented conservation where folks can do sort of a Q&A with them. Just trying to create some opportunity for conversation and for learning amongst folks in the area.
As you were thinking about putting this together, why target the landowners?
Yeah, you know, I think landowners are in sort of a unique situation. They have a lot of reasons to care about their ground. And we know, for example, their topsoil and the health of their soil is so critical. You're not paying for the land as much as you're paying for actually that soil in an agricultural context. And so we've heard over the years that landowners might want more information, maybe a little bit of idea how to work with their tenant farmers, especially if we're talking about trying something new. And so the idea came about, you know, let's create some opportunities, some surface area for these discussions, and in a really sort of welcoming way, you know, here's some of the science, here's some of the experts, but you make the decisions that are best on your ground.
This is for landowners who are absentee landowners, or for those who are actually in the 50-50 operations as well? I suspect for both, because the landowners would need to think about and care for their soils over time.
I think it is both. I think we're designing this particularly for a non-operator landowner who maybe would like to start at a little bit more basic level with some of these topics, but it could be anyone. You know, one of the discussions we're going to have is with a gentleman at USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, and he's going to be able to talk about what are some of the cost share programs that someone could sign up for to get some financial assistance to do soil health practices, or maybe put in a buffer or something positive like that. And that type of information is helpful to anyone.
Yeah, so these might be just improvements to the land that the producer, the farmer, would welcome potentially, but that cost money and are an investment. And you sometimes can manage to figure out how to do that through cost share with the U.S. government.
Exactly. And when you have a situation, you know, you've got a non-operator landowner, you've got a tenant that's really there, you know, with that ground every day, the best outcome there is going to be a discussion between both of those parties, because the landowner certainly cares about the long-term health of that land, the farmer too. But the farmer is kind of looking year to year at their operations and their business. And so a lot of times the best results of these types of conversations are just kind of getting folks together and having that discussion. And again, I'll just say, you know, we've got that kind of 5-county focus, but truly anyone is welcome to join us, and we would love it. So please feel free to RSVP or reach out to me if you have any questions.
Kate Hansen is with the Isaac Walton League of America and helping to organize the Illinois Landowner Conservation Series, targeting Christian, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Shelby counties, among others, at the Decatur, Illinois, University of Illinois Extension Building. That comes up in person on September 3rd of next week, and then Zoom meetings thereafter. If you'd like to attend, it's free. You can do that easily enough from our website. It's at the top of the page. Just click here to RSVP today at willag.org. Chad Hart from Iowa State Extension now joins us. He's an agricultural economist. Hi, Chad. Thank you for being with us. Last week, Pro Farmer, based there in your state, dropped a much larger number out for Iowa and for Illinois, for that matter, from their tours. Are you of a mind that this crop just continues to get bigger?
Well, at least on the soybean side, they did. I mean, and I think that's based upon you know, something that was discussed or after report. It looked like the bean crop, yeah, if you give us one more good rain, we could see that number move higher. And that's definitely what Pro Farmer found as they looked basically across all three I states. You know, the idea is they bumped those yield estimates up fairly significantly from what USDA had. On the corn side, it was more mixed. Yeah, they said the Iowa crop was bigger, but the Illinois crop is a little smaller in their perspective. I guess they seem to talk about more variability. I guess I'll frame it that way when we're looking at the corn crop across the United States.
Yeah, I must admit, I looked at the 220 and thinking bigger, but of course, smaller than USDA's number of 225.
Well, and that's the deal. When we're looking here, these numbers are so far out on that edge as far as, you know, they're not only breaking records, but they're just snapping those records in two. So it's really weird to be talking out here, speaking about numbers that are not just beyond what we've done before, but well beyond what we've seen before.
Yeah, this will be the proof for the year when those USDA figures come out in March. And each year farmers say, and others, but we've never been that high. Mm-hmm. This one we're going to be on not only that high, but we'll be on the high end of the scale for it as well.
Yes. And you know, I think that's the thing. And when I'm looking at like the pro farmer numbers too, you know, it does reflect where there's some problems out there. Yeah, they definitely found it on the western side of the tour. But just the idea that when you look at the heart of the Corn Belt, it was just a phenomenal year of production this year.
Okay, so what do you think USDA will do with its season's average cash prices? And I'm asking that because I'm wondering what farmers should do with these very low prices they're faced with at the moment and the situation that they're in, which could be that they need to be marketing sooner rather than later.
Well, that's the deal. I think when as we're looking here, we know that there's a significant gap between where USDA is and where the markets are. When I'm looking at the corn market right now, it's pricing more in the 390 range where USDA is saying 420. Beans, the market is saying 950, USDA is saying 1080. So, I mean, there's just a gigantic gap between those two there. And I think it's the case of, let's face it, that we know USDA is likely going to have to adjust those prices down as we look forward here. But at the same time, too, I would say, where's the truth lie? I'm going to argue somewhere in between right now, because when we look out here as well, I think the markets are showing, I call it the slope of hope. You know, the idea is the further we look out, we see those prices improving. Demand usage is actually really good, if not at record levels. So it's one of these cases of, yeah, we've watched prices soften quite a bit, but we do see room for some recovery as we look deeper into the marketing year.
Will USDA do with the corn and soybean season's average cash prices what they did with wheat last month?
They could very well. They are slow to move those things, you know, to move those season average prices down, because part of what I would say what they're looking at is, let's face it, when we look at the cash markets, we still continue to see that strengthened basis that is hanging on deep into, you know, what's going to be the harvest window now. And so that's indicating that domestic usage has not really backed off, and we're trying to figure out how to bring these bushels into the marketplace to get utilized. So, yeah, I think wheat may have given us a preview of what's coming next month.
All right. Hey, thanks much.
Thank you.
Chad Hart is an agricultural economist with Iowa State University Extension. On this Monday, let's check in with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics to talk a little bit about the weather forecast across the planet. Hi, Mark. Thank you for being with us. Let's begin with logistics first and the Mississippi River. We've been hearing for the last week and a half that at Memphis, they're at low stage. Can you tell me about the logistics of the river itself and flow and whether that is an Ohio issue, a Missouri issue, or a Mississippi River issue?
Well, Todd, well, first off, thanks for having me. And in terms of the river logistics situation, it is impacting most rivers here in the Midwest. So Mississippi, Ohio, Missouri, specifically on the Mississippi River at Memphis, that's currently at record low levels for this time of year. And we are expecting things to decrease further, and that's going to be true across, you know, all river basins here in the Midwest. Maybe a little bit of stabilization up north, but bottom line, we're seeing no significant improvement over the next couple of weeks as a result of the continued drier bias, as well as also a warmer temperature bias. So already hearing about, you know, some impacts here to kind of local trade here on the river system, but this will become a more significant item if it persists deeper into the fall, or, you know, even just late September, early October, as harvest really ramps up and begin to, move harvested crops here to the barges.
I made note that today, yesterday, tomorrow, we're running well above our temperatures. I think today, 9 degrees above normal in this part of the world. Will the heat abate?
It does look like it will abate. That will start later on in this week. Until then, for into today, tomorrow, on into Wednesday, yeah, very hot temperatures here, you know, upper 90s, even some lower 100s here in the Midwest, some of the hottest temperatures all summer. But temperatures will be cooling down Thursday, Friday, basically tapering down to more normal levels for the holiday weekend and beyond.
And then when you look further out, what do you see for the month of September?
Right now, we're expecting variable temperatures across the Midwest. Going to start out slightly warmer than normal, but not seeing any extreme heat. Or on the flip side, no sign of any unusual or prolonged early, you know, cold spells coming in either here. And as for precipitation, kind of typically when you get into a transition into a La Nina environment, falls tend to be on the drier side. And, you know, some of the drier pattern that we're seeing right now, we think that that could have some legs here, you know, going into September and potentially beyond.
And turn your attention to South America with the Labor Day weekend in the United States, the beginning of the month of September. Planting dates open up for Brazil. Will they have enough moisture to consider putting seed in the ground?
For center west Brazil, that does not look to be the case here, at least early on. Soil moisture right now is critically low, some of the lowest levels on record for center west Brazil. We see no rain over the next 15 days, along with warmer than normal temperatures. That puts more emphasis on the second half of September and rainfall beginning to pick up across the region. And right now it's looking like a slower start here, at least, you know, mid-September. Not getting any kind of, you know, big surges of early rainfall across that area. Still, it would be early if this dryness persisted into October, then it becomes a more significant item. But as of right now, definitely something to keep an eye on. And obviously, the longer the dryness persists, the more concerns there will be for late planting.
Thank you much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online, on demand, anytime you'd like, at illag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.